With some exceptions, Michigan Republicans have reason to celebrate the 2014 midterm election. Several major statewide offices, as polls usually suggested, went to GOP incumbents, including Governor Rick Snyder, Secretary of State Ruth Johnson, and Attorney General Bill Schuette. But Democrats are celebrating the election of Congressman Gary Peters to the U.S. Senate and a victory on Michigan's conservative-leaning Supreme Court. For his insights, we turn to Inside Michigan Politics, Bill Ballinger. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Mark.
Before we dive in, let's listen to Rick Snyder. Last night in Detroit, Snyder says career training for young people will be a priority in his second term.
Get them those well-paying, those middle-class jobs. Let them find success in our state. That's just the start. We are going to lead the nation in that and show the rest of the country we make things in Michigan.
That's about as animated as I've ever heard, Rick Snyder. Polling in recent days suggested a tighter race for governor. How are you interpreting Governor Snyder's 4 percentage point victory?
Well, there are lots of different ways to look at the results last night. His final margin, 4%, actually, Mark, if you talk about polls and the margin of error, which is usually 4%, it was just about what the polls said, except that the polls seemed to indicate that it was an absolute dead heat, and there were some undecided voters, and the question was which way they were going to break. Well, you know, if you believed all those polls, they apparently either all broke for the governor at the very bitter end, or they were there all along and the polls just weren't calculating things right. But it was close at the top. But to me, there were other stories in yesterday's election, and I'm not sure anybody's even noticed them yet or how much they'll be talked about. Number one, the Republicans overperformed and the Democrats underperformed. And I say that, you know, in a different way than you usually talk about that, not just victory. Let me just mention that, you know, we talked all during this campaign. You talked about it on your program with your guests. Turnout, right? Everybody was talking about,
yeah,
would this be a bigger turnout year? Could the Democrats get voters who had not voted in 2010 to vote? Well, the answer to the question is no, they didn't get them out to vote. The turnout this year was worse than 4 years ago. Do you know that?
Mm.
And yet, let me tell you this, the Democrats swept all 8 of the educational board seats, including your 2 at Michigan State,
yeah,
University. Well, I mean, that is a remarkable development, that the Democratic turnout could be that poor. If anybody had told Lon Johnson, the party chairman, you're only going to get 3.1 to 3.2 million voters out, he would have decided we're going to lose every single educational board seat. The Republicans swept all 8 of those seats 4 years ago, and yet the Democrats swept all 8 seats. However, between Rick Snyder's victory and the educational board seats, the Republicans pretty much cleaned up. They actually expanded their majority in the state Senate to 27 to 11. Do you know that? I mean, it's unbelievable. And they picked up 4 seats in the state House, and they kept all their congressional seats. They won 2 out of the 3 Supreme Court seats. So, I mean, the Republicans got the kind of turnout they wanted, which was a low turnout, but, you know, because perhaps of Gary Peters' victory at the top of the ticket by the huge margin over Terry Land, I think it got enough Democrats splitting their tickets that even though Democrats at the base supported educational board candidates, they split off and supported a lot of Republicans running for the state legislature and for Congress.
Republican vote totals here, just to capture, I'll go a little deeper on the point that you're making. Snyder, almost 1.6 million. Land got 1.28 million, 315,000 fewer. Democratic totals, Schauer, 1.46 million. Peters, 1.7 million. Gary Peters got more votes than Rick Snyder.
Oh, sure. Well, absolutely, because he won by a huge margin. If you look at it in percentage terms, not just raw votes, Snyder won almost exactly the same as Jennifer Granholm did when she was first elected in 2002 over Dick Posthumus. It was 51-47%, and the vote was almost exactly the same. It's just reverse, with a Republican winning as opposed to 2002, a Democrat winning. That was what that race was like. Whereas, you know, Peter's victory over Land was a, you know, pretty much a landslide 12-14% victory. It was more like Granholm winning her second term in 2006 and Debbie Stabenow being reelected in 2006. Everybody thinks of those as landslide victories. Well, that's what Peters was over Land last night.
Bill Ballinger's our guest of Inside Michigan Politics. Bill, is it time for the Democrats to have a contested gubernatorial primary? It's been 12 years since that happened.
You mean you think that would have helped them last night?
I'm asking you.
I don't think it would have helped them, Mark. I don't think that was the problem. The problem was they just didn't execute this plan, whatever it was, to get voters to turn out in a general election. Forget a primary. This is a general election. And again, you can expect in a general election in a non-presidential year that Democrats proportionately are not going to turn out as well as Republicans. That was the expectation. But strangely, this year, I have never heard so much talk, mainly from Democrats, but from a lot of people in the news media who tend to be Democratic, that, you know, if the Democrats can just simply get 150,000 to 200,000 voters statewide to turn out of nearly a million who have not voted in 2010 but voted in other elections during the past dozen years, if they can just get 150,000 to 200,000 out of that million to turn out, they're going to be in really good shape on election night yesterday, November 4th. Well, guess what? Not only did they not get 150,000 to 200,000 of those million voters, they got less than they got even 4 years ago. And 4 years ago, they were wringing their hands saying, we lost this election only because Democrats did not turn out. Mm. Well, they turned out even worse yesterday.
In this U.S. Senate race, Gary Peters did beat Terry Lynn Land by 14 percentage points. Let's listen to Gary Peters. Here he criticizes out-of-state spending in the race by groups supporting Terry Lynn Land.
We're going to not let ads being paid for by some out-of-state billionaires determine who the next senator is from the state of Michigan. It is the people of the state of Michigan that get the opportunity to do that.
Anything more to say on the Senate contest and that particular comment?
That particular comment, I would say that is a large pile of hooey, Mark. Gary Peters also was funded by out-of-state billionaires. So, I mean, this is the kind of rhetoric that you get from both the winners and the losers of these contests, Republicans or Democrats. The idea that somehow Terry Lynn Land was a captive of out-of-state billionaires, but that Gary Peters wasn't, is just malarkey. Everybody in politics knows it, but, you know, that's the kind of thing you would expect a candidate winning in his euphoria to say, you know, on election night.
Bill Ballinger of Inside Michigan Politics helping us understand the results from last night's midterm. Before we consider the new faces from Michigan heading to Washington, we'll point out that the GOP will continue to enjoy majorities here in Lansing in both the Senate and the House. Will the current margins be changing significantly?
You're talking about the legislature?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned earlier, the Republicans gained 4 seats, so they're going to have a 63-47 majority. It's going to be exactly the same as it was after the election 4 years ago. Exactly the same. In the Senate, I mean, it's just astounding. The Democrats were thinking, we cannot certainly be any worse off after the election yesterday than we were going into it. I mean, we are in a 26-12 hole going into the election. The Republicans have a veto-proof majority. We're going to pick up two or three seats and, you know, get ourselves in a position where maybe in 2018, when term limits will expel a lot of senators and there'll be a lot of open seats, we'll have a chance to get the majority back. Well, Mark, they actually lost a seat yesterday, net loss, to go to a 27-11 minority. I mean, it's absolutely staggering. The Republicans themselves never expected that. I mean, they thought probably at best, at very, very best, it would be 26-12. Probably it would end up 25-13, 24-14. Instead, it's 27-11. So it is really grim for the Democrats in the legislature.
Contrary to what we may have reported earlier today, Iraq War veteran Tom Barrett, a Republican, ended up prevailing by under 200 votes, according to the Lansing State Journal, over Democrat Teresa Abbott. The Dems reportedly could pursue a recount. Anything to say there?
Well, everybody thought of that as the tightest race in the state, and it turned out to be that way. I think maybe the margin, according to the Secretary of State, is a little more than you just described, but you know, it's kind of hard nowadays, Mark, to overturn a margin as big as that. I mean, if this was 15 votes or something, that would be one thing. You may remember in 2010, there was a Republican primary in the first congressional district up north, and Dan Benishek beat a state senator named Jason Allen by 15 votes, 15. And there was no change in the vote total, as a result of a recount. I mean, it's just very tough to overcome. And so this was a seat next door to Lansing, the 71st district, that the Democrats won 2 years ago with Teresa Abed for the first time in nearly half a century. And now the Republicans have taken it back. Now, what's going to happen in 2016? We'll have to wait and see. That's a presidential year, and that's usually a lot better for Democrats. So Tom Barrett will have to be on his toes.
In the time we have left, let's reshift our focus on elected officials going to Washington for the first time. Here in the 8th, former State Senate Majority Leader Mike Bishop prevailed over East Lansing Democrat Eric Schertzing. What's your takeaway there?
Well, my takeaway there is, first of all, you know, people here in Lansing and Ingham County have a hard time understanding this, but they're not the center of the universe when it comes to the 8th Congressional District. They're the tail on a bigger dog, and the bigger dog is northern Oakland County, and you can tack on Livingston, because they're both Republican, and the numbers just favor the Republicans in this district. Not overwhelmingly, but they favor the Republicans. So the Republican nominee was almost certainly going to be the favorite in this race, and it broke down pretty much the way you would have figured. Bishop basically, I'm not going to say clobbered Schertzing, but he beat him decisively, handily. Almost, by the way, by as big a margin as Gary Peters beat Terry Lant. Mike Bishop has got a challenge in that he's from the Rochester area. I talked to him last night on the phone on radio from Detroit, and I said, you know, how much time are you going to spend over here in Ingham County? He says, you put your finger on it. He says, I'm going to be spending a lot of time in Ingham County and coming back home. He said, if I get caught up and sticking in Washington, I'm going to be in trouble. I've got to get known around the district. And so I think, you know, you can judge Mike Bishop by how strong his presence is in the Lansing area in the next couple of years.
I want to jump to one of the questions I had scheduled for later here because we're running out of time. We're facing another couple of years with a moderate Republican governor working with a number of other Republicans in the House and Senate who are, again, more decidedly conservative than him. Will we see how much more arm twisting are we apt to see between these two factions? And what do you think that means for Michigan for the next couple of years?
Well, I think you will see more arm twisting, but I don't think it's necessarily going to block progress on a number of fronts that are important to all Michiganders, whether they're Democrats, Republicans, or independents. No question that Rick Snyder is more moderate than the Republican caucuses in the House and Senate. However, I think one other thing that developed yesterday, and this may not speak to Rick Snyder being in as strong a position as he was 4 years ago, is that really the House and Senate did better in terms of exceeding expectations in the election yesterday than Rick Snyder did. I mean, Rick Snyder only won by 4%, and most people didn't think it was supposed to be this close. And the Republicans padded their majorities. They've got more conservative members coming in. 4 years ago, it was kind of the other way around. Rick Snyder had won overwhelmingly at the top of the ticket by 18.5% over Virgil Bernero, and a lot of Republicans who were dragged into office felt they'd gotten there on his coattails, and so they gave Rick Snyder a lot of votes.
Okay. We are just about out of time. I've got time for a quick yes or no. Do you expect Arlen Meekhoff to replace Randy Richardville as Senate Majority Leader?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Bill Ballinger, you are invaluable, and we appreciate your time. Bill Ballinger of Inside Michigan Politics on the morning after the midterm. Thanks, Bill.
My pleasure, Mark.